Welcome to episode 003. Again, going after this long-term goal of hundreds of podcasts eventually. But here we are today. We're in December 2018. And today I am talking to you about being careful for nothing. I've always loved this verse in the Bible in Philippians 4:6, and I've appreciated the old school King James Version, which says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Oh, there's just something special about the old school version. It makes your brain work differently. It makes it think differently. At least it does for me. And I just love that turning a phrase of being careful for nothing. We spend our lives being careful, which is what I want to talk to you about. And then what is the alternative to that? What does it mean to not be careful? Why would we be encouraged to not be careful? But before we do that, I would like to say that I had talked to you about what I had been doing in my house. In a little bit of rearranging, a little bit of organizing, a little bit of clarifying, getting things straight and in order. The end of a year, beginning of the next year, we do a lot of reevaluating and coming to terms with where we're at in life, and we start thinking about new things, new projects, new events, new challenges that we may want to undertake in the following new year. And so this, I think, is a good segue. This idea of being careful for nothing is a good segue into what would that look like to not do that in this coming year, to branch out. And so I will give you some frameworks for how to look at that, how to approach this coming year. So yeah, that's what we're going after here in this talk today, December 2018. So back to the passage, Philippians 4:6. So that is the traditional one, and I'll read you another one here in a minute. But I want to talk to you about this idea of being careful, not worrying about anything. So what are some things that we're careful of? Let's start off with driving. So it's very good to be a defensive driver, right? Absolutely. But I would suggest that is rarely what I see on the road. Mostly what I see on the road, although people might say that they're being careful and that the people around them are not. We see people jockeying for position and jamming their way in between a couple of cars and just trying to get ahead, one more car ahead. They'll get there 5 seconds, 10 seconds before the other person does to their event or their thing. And being late for whatever it is going to be the end of the world. Oh my goodness. They're going to lose their place in line, lose their ticket, punch their ticket, whatever it is that they feel like they need to do. And maybe we feel this way often as well, that people will not think well of us if we are late. And all these different reasons that we have. So we think that we need to do this. But maybe we're not actually as careful as we think that we're being. Second, let's talk about germs. We sterilize our environment. We are so careful. We are being so careful to make sure that every nook and cranny is sterilized. And hey, I am all for cleanliness. Whew, just ask my wife. I love things being nice and neat and clean. I told you how I'm organizing and love to have that happen. But sometimes it's interesting how we just want to be germ-free and just can't even stand to have one nook or cranny have a spot of dust in it. What's another one? Let's see here. Being late. Yes, I'd mentioned that with the driving as well, that oftentimes we just got to make sure that we are on time for every last thing that we do. And I tell you what, I am all for being early and respecting the person that we're connecting with or we're meeting with or the or the professor or the teacher or the school or the church, and just making sure that we're always attentive to every last time and detail, and that we just have to make sure that people think the best of us. So we make sure that we're on time and that we're very careful to do that, which leads me into the next one, perfectionism. Ooh, this is a big one, especially in our culture. We love to dress up, look nice, and take care of ourselves, which can be such a good thing, but it's when it becomes meticulous and it becomes overwhelming and anxiety-producing, this is when it goes off the rails, when all these things, we have to get an A on every paper, when we have to make sure our house is perfectly clean, when we're having guests over. This idea of perfectionism, when we can't let one drop pass. I had a friend lived with a couple when I was in my 20s, and she was very careful to make sure that there were no spots in her sink. So not even leaving dishes in the sink when guests were coming over, but to wipe the sink out completely to make sure there wasn't any drops in it. And that, you know, seems to me to lean towards a little bit of perfectionism. And so that's a good one, definitely. And we could probably do a whole podcast on that. Need to put a check mark next to that. Not working out. This is, of course, you're going to, as you get to know me better here, you're going to realize this is one of my hot buttons, but of the opposite of that of working out. But here, not working out. I have heard the most crazy, fun, interesting, exciting arguments that say, I just want to make sure I don't stress out my body. You know that people that do those kind of workouts, they get injured. And they say these sentences as if most people who work out get injured. Most people who do whatever they're describing, that they're just injury prone. And so I, you know, they say arguments like, I just am not going to work out at all because I just want to make sure that I don't injure myself. And these mental gymnastics that we do to justify being careful. What's another one? Here we go. Eating breakfast every morning. Ooh, this is a fun one. And we have had this going around in our culture for some time now that says, And say it with me, say it with me. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Somebody started this crazy notion and it has just taken hold. And people say this is so relevant and so important. Wow. For years it was wildly understood and it's slowly coming back, and I'm going to help it along here. This idea of fasting, this idea of taking a break from food, of not having to gorge ourselves constantly. So here's a novel idea. Maybe eat when we're hungry and don't when we're not. But okay, here we go. We're going to continue this. Where were we? We were at eating breakfast every morning. Fantastic. Yes, but maybe there's another way to go about it. But we are careful every day to keep eating breakfast. Number 7, eating, along we're on this theme of eating organic. You know, we're careful to make sure that we buy everything organic, you know, because we're looking out for our kids, we're looking out for our bodies, you know, and because it has a sticker on it, it must be organic. You know, we haven't looked up the regulations that say that only 10% of the farmer's field has to be organic, and then they can put a label, they can slap a label on it for all of their food that says organic. Or, you know, we haven't researched Monsanto's and how they're taking over all of the food industry and deciding on their own regulations for food and putting small farmers out of business. And then doubling and tripling and quadrupling our grocery bills over the past decade and a half. But we are careful to make sure that we eat organic. Next, protecting our kids so they don't get physically or emotionally hurt. You know, don't let them climb that tree. Don't let them get into a disagreement with a friend at school. Don't let them get hurt. We got to protect every last boo-boo, every last owie, every last one of their emotional feelings. They get into high school and the emotions are up and down, and we make sure that we babysit every last emotion. And let's do one more. Accomplishing everything on our list so that we can feel like we accomplished something, that we've completed our checklist. It's such a satisfying feeling. There's this fantastic episode, if you've ever seen the show The Big Bang Theory, and there's a character, Sheldon, on there, and they're trying to break him of his OCD. And they go through and they set up these dominoes. And they knock it over at the beginning, but the last one doesn't fall over because they've moved it out of the way. And then the next piece is they'll start a little Jack in the Box toy, but they won't let it pop up at the end. And they do segment after segment. They do different things like this without the finishing, without the conclusion, without the finish that's normally happens with each one of these things. And he sits there and he sighs and he's like, that doesn't bother me, that doesn't bother me. And then when his friends leave, he sets up all the dominoes and he knocks them all over so that they go in order. And he gets the Jack in Box out and he does the whole tune until the Jack pops up at the end. And he just has to have this conclusion. He has to have this completed feeling of having everything done and in the right order. And so he's careful to make sure that all of these things are completed, that everything on the checklist is crossed off. Whew, that is such a satisfying feeling, isn't it? But yet, here, we're talking about being careful for nothing. So what is that? Where am I going with this? What does that mean? What is this verse talking about? Let me give you a different version. This is from the New Living, another translation from another group of people that have translated this, and it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. So what is the opposite of this? What is the point? If we're not to worry, what should we be doing? What is the direction? What is the focus? Because it's easy. I have a lot of people that say, oh, don't do this. Make sure you don't do that. I think, great, excellent. What should I be doing? Well, I don't know. Just don't do that. And that has always been the funniest thing to me. They don't have any idea what they should be doing, but they do know what they shouldn't be doing. And I would like to say that is a great place to start of knowing what not to do. But as we progress and mature, we move in what to do, right? So for little children, you tell them not to run in the road, which is a fantastic piece of advice to give a small child. And then they grow up and they're in their teen years and their 20s and so on and so forth. And then they say, okay, I haven't been running in the road. Excellent. Okay, which direction do I go in? You know, and then the same answer of I don't know just doesn't work that well, right? People are looking for direction, for guidance, for help in knowing what to do. And I would even argue that we can start from that place. If we have a big yes, if we have a big direction that we're going in, we may not have time to do all the things that are not beneficial, like running in the road. And that is for another podcast as well. Yay, we're just coming up with them right and left here. So yes, so what is the opposite? What is the alternative to being careful? What does it look like to not be careful? So I would argue that the opposite is celebrating. And so what would that look like? So first of all, let me give you a couple of other passages in the Bible, in this group of books that they've collected. And this one is in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Luke 15:23 and 24. And he's talking about, this is the end of a story that Jesus was telling of when his son was lost and then came back, was found. And he says, "For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now is found." And they began to celebrate. So when somebody comes back, a long-lost relative returns, that's a fantastic time to celebrate. And then Ecclesiastes talks about there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, and a time to celebrate. So these are all examples. Let's do one last one. Psalms 118, 24. "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." These are times to celebrate. And I would suggest that if we're looking for ways to celebrate, if we're looking for ways to connect with other people around successes, around achievements, around positive events that have happened in their lives, then we may not have time to be careful for all these things. So each one of those is an opportunity to celebrate. But what are some examples? Birthday parties. Joking with my wife and thinking about how I'm, you know, all continually on this goal of eating healthy and you know, trying to honor my body with what I'm putting into it. But it always seems to be somebody's birthday. There's always cake and ice cream and other non-nutritional foods at these events. But these are amazing times when we have an excuse to celebrate and to attend someone's birthday party. Okay, how about Thanksgiving or Christmas? We're in the season right now, and these are great times to connect with family and friends and just hang out, spend some time together, celebrate. Oh, what are some other ones? Anniversaries, bar mitzvahs, pagan holidays. We have this word that in some cultures they like to use, and it's called pagan, and it's for things that are outside of our tradition. And it feels so, and I'm sure that I'll get some comments back that people will say that, yes, there's definitely some unholy ones that are evil and wrong. But generally speaking, from some of my friends who consider themselves missionaries, who travel the world and proselytize or encourage people to seek after God, is I asked my friends, so when you are in these cultures, do you celebrate with them? If they have a Groundhog Day or if they have some kind of holiday that you wouldn't normally celebrate in America, would you celebrate it there? And the resounding answer is absolutely. They fit right into the culture. They connect with the culture. And as long as it's not something that's going to kill them or harm anybody in any way, they're happy to celebrate with them. And so I'd love to ask them the follow-up question. So then, do you celebrate the holidays with your family and friends here in our Western culture? And oftentimes, there's just such pushback because they just think, well, these celebrations, you know, aren't for my spiritual tradition, or you know, even what my argument was is they don't have good food at them, right? And so I like to tell them, well, that's a different issue. That's a different topic. That has to do with self-restraint, self-control. But this idea of celebrating with people here, even in our own culture, is one to be focused on. And so I'd ask them, what would keep you from returning back to your own culture and celebrating with your family and friends in their normal everyday traditions? So many of us don't have a problem with that, and we attend those. And yesterday I had talked about, the other day, when we talked about duty and obligation, I had mentioned that people sometimes will do these events out of duty and obligation, and this is not what I'm referring to when I'm talking about celebrating. It's from a joyful heart, from a place of pure happiness, where we're happy to engage and celebrate with them, whether it's their birthday or their anniversary or a traditional holiday that we're used to celebrating. So we don't have to worry about being careful. You know, let's go back through our list, the beginning list that I had of driving and germs and those things. So I had mentioned to you that people are so careful of those. So how do you celebrate when you're driving? What does that look like? What does that mean? What would a picture of that be? Well, have you ever had those moments where you are in a really good place? Like maybe you're heading to one of these events and somebody cuts you off and you just wave them in and say, come on in. I'm just excited about where I'm going. I'm in no hurry. There's no exact time I have to be there. So you go ahead and you scoot right in there. I'll let you go first. And I'm just not worried about it at all. There is an attitude of celebration in driving. There is an attitude of joy in driving. Germs. So of course, we want to keep our families healthy. But I think that we've forgotten that years ago, kids used to just play out in the backyard and just take a handful of dirt in their mouth, right? And we didn't sit there and worry about germs, that like they're going to be fine. Little healthy dose of dirt now and again didn't hurt anybody. And so just allowing ourselves to relax and not feel so OCD about every little piece of germ in our house. We can still maintain the semblance of cleanliness without going overboard on it. Being late. Yes, this idea of being late. When I do individual coaching with people, I make sure that I tell a lot of these young people or even older people to respect the other person's time of who you're meeting with or whoever is teaching the class, and make sure to show up on time, absolutely. But there's another side to it where we need to relax. And have you ever met those people who are so easygoing and they show up to the class and the professor's like, oh, you're so cute, you're so fun, you're just such an easygoing person, come on in, and somehow they get away with it. And then you or me, who's maybe like really uptight and rushes in and sits down late, and the professor says, where were you? Why were you late, right? And you're thinking to yourself, wait, why is this person getting away with it and I'm not? The answer may be in this celebrating, this joyfulness, this easygoingness, that how they move through life brings peace to other people rather than anxiety. How they go about their life just doesn't stress other people out. And so they tend to get away with things that maybe you and I would not get away with. So we don't have to worry all the time about being late. There's a way to still be honoring and respectful, while at the same time not be overly OCD about that. Next one, let's do perfectionism. Yes, very similar to that, is we are constantly having to get those A's in our classes, and we're constantly worrying about every detail, when maybe we don't have to. We can celebrate and have joy and just say, it's gonna be all right. I had some friends in high school years ago that were wanting to get into that perfect college, right? And so they were really bothered because they got A's in everything except for PE, physical education class. And they said, I'm really smart, maybe even nerd-like, but the physical fitness I'm just not good at, and I don't know what that has anything to do with in college, right? And so this idea of being well-rounded did not appeal to them at all. The academic was what was the most important thing. And they had a hard time with their perfectionism. They just had to be perfect in everything. Had a hard time letting go of that one piece of it. And a lot of these things have trickle-down effects, right? Is we say, yeah, but you don't understand, Mark. You don't understand. That was my full-ride scholarship. There's no other way that I could pay for going to that school unless I got this full ride scholarship and I needed that A. And so as you can imagine, there's a number of thinking errors in that way of thinking that yes, that would be one way that they could pay for the school. But I've known many people who have worked during college or have taken a couple more years to get through college and didn't have to plow through in 4 years. And I've known another number of people who never went to college and became very successful. You know, they say, as a tangent here, they say that the average person in America that goes out and starts working a full-time job after high school, and another average person who goes straight to college and then looks for a job after college in their chosen field, the second person, the college graduate, given an equal amount of time, will never catch the person who started working right after college financially, will never catch up to them in their chosen field. And that's a fascinating study that I'll have to put a link to on my website, and you'll have to check that out. So, and nothing against higher education. I went and got a higher education, love it, and love learning. And that's the biggest piece of it, is I love the learning piece of it. But I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with not going to school, that people have done very well for themselves financially, entrepreneurially. They also say, as another tangent, that schools, higher education, teaches people to be better employees, not necessarily to be entrepreneurs. So you'll see a lot of high-level CEOs and CFOs working for other companies, not for their own company, because they've learned in school how to answer the questions on the test and how to tell their boss what they want to hear, not necessarily how to think for themselves and how to create something new. And I think that we're starting to see a shift in that, but it still may be a while in that arena. But coming back to what we're talking about here of being careful for nothing, let's move on to not working out. And I had mentioned that people did not want to injure themselves. So again, when you throw caution to the wind, when you don't worry about every last thing, you're willing to step into maybe something that may feel a little bit more intense to you. Whether it's a swimming workout or it's a soul cycle class or a CrossFit event or it could be any number of things, a triathlon weekend, something that may push you, may challenge you a little bit farther than you're used to. Maybe it's just going for a walk farther than you've gone before. And allowing yourself to take a chance and take a risk. Sometimes we've lost that. The thing that children have, that they're just super excited to try something new, a new sport, a new event. We need to get rid of that old way of thinking of, I need to be careful that I don't injure myself, and take a risk. Next, eating breakfast every morning. Oh my goodness, take a risk. It's okay to miss a meal. It really is. I promise you. You know, unless you have some kind of doctor's notification, unless you have some kind of, you know, serious health issue, for most of us, it's going to be okay. And, you know, they've had study after study that show that intermittent fasting is fantastic for you. They even have a show on Netflix right now that you can check out that's called Fasting. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Put some comments in the comment section. But yes, I think that we are learning that is no longer true, that meal is no longer the most important. Next, eating organic. And this one is one of my hot buttons, and feel free to comment all you like on this one. But I would say do your research and find out. I'm leaning towards this, letting you know that eating locally is probably a better way to say it. When you do that, you're almost guaranteed to get something organic from your farmer down the road, from somebody that you know and that you can have a conversation with, and you can go to their farm and you can see what they're doing. And okay, this may not be an expansive palate. You know, the people in your area may not have all of the different fruits and vegetables that we're used to eating year round, but that comes to another thing of eating foods that are in season, right? These things that would grow in our area and in our season. And so, of course, you know, those of us that live in, you know, different areas where it's winter. Things obviously aren't growing during that time. You know, there are going to be things that are a little bit out of season. And again, I'm not talking about perfectionism, so don't take this as gospel truth in the sense of every last food that you put in your mouth needs to be like this. I'm just talking in general. So we're not being perfectionists about this, remember. We're being careful for nothing. But eating organic may be more of a misnomer than you realize. A couple more. Protecting our kids. And this one is especially close to my heart because I love protecting my kids. I want to keep them safe. However, loosening up the strings a little bit, allowing them to explore, you know, especially when they're at home, especially when they're in your eyesight. That's a great time to let them take risks because you're right there. Because they will take risks when you are not there. And I think an example of this would be with my kids as they were growing up is my oldest son would climb a tree and I would cheer him on. And then his little sister would climb up after him and she would say to me, "I can get as high as he can." And I don't know if it was the father-daughter thing in my heart that I just wanted to protect her and keep her safe. And I just had to swallow hard and say, "Go for it, honey. You can do it." And she is, to this day, just a trooper of a climber and very athletic. And she knows her limbs. If you get a chance, there's a character, an actor, who is doing the new, maybe not so new anymore, but the at the time of this recording, it is called Aquaman. And he posts this great video on YouTube that you can check out. I believe for his daughters, and he says, "I got all of them involved in two things, skateboarding and rock climbing." And he said, "The reason for this is I wanted them to know their bodies." And I would say this would be true for sons too, of course. So I want them to learn how to balance. Then they can snowboard and they can surf and they can do other things, but they've learned balance. And then rock climbing, they've learned what their arms and legs and bodies are capable of. They can scale up a wall or up a rock wall. And he said, those two things, just from the very beginning, I wanted all of my kids to be able to know themselves. Knowing yourself, so important, and what your body's capable of. So I thought that was pretty neat. And the YouTube video is just really well done. I don't know if he had someone edit it and put some music and different shots of him in different movies that he's been in. But just a fantastic, fantastic inspirational talk that he gives there. And last is accomplishing everything on our list so that we can feel that we have done something. And that I'm a list maker. I love it. I think it's so great. As long as it doesn't end up, if you don't get everything done on your list, that you're frustrated. This idea of anger and frustration is one of the biggest things while raising my kids that I've been wanting to teach them almost at the top of the list is to not be frustrated, to have peace, whether or not you've accomplished all of these things. It is the frustration that will keep you from picking it up again the next day and doing it again, from practicing that oboe, from going out and challenging yourself in that sport, from reading that next book, that concept that just you can't seem to grasp in that scientific book that you're reading, or in that spiritual book that you're reading, or marriage book, or whatever it is, you know, that letting go of that and being careful for nothing, right? This idea of celebrating and say, "Wow, well, that's interesting. I guess I'll have to pick that up again tomorrow and check it out." So not feeling frustrated with not accomplishing everything on our list. You can push it till the next day. It'll be fine. It'll get done. Things will get done. And I've seen this in the workplace as well, from being a boss and from having supervisors as well, and that there's a number of things that need to get done, that need to be accomplished. You know, today, right? Right? And so I worked for actually this large religious organization for a while, and that was one of the most intense ones I worked for. I couldn't believe it. They just, and I mean, you could call it work ethic, but it was beyond that. And it was just months and months and months. It might have been, I don't know how long, but it was a while before I realized, wow, day in and day out, these different managers, they were constantly pushing this idea of this has to be done today. And months later, I realized they're going to say the same thing tomorrow. and when I'm a manager and when I have my people that are working for me, you know, am I coming across that way? How am I saying, still getting things done? Hey, don't get me wrong. I'm all about accomplishing things in a timely manner. I get that. But it's that intensity and that stress that we put on ourselves and put on others. This perfectionism, this idea of not celebrating what we have accomplished. I mean, that would be the focus of this would be insane. From when a child is little to when adults are full grown in the workforce, and you're saying, I really appreciate all that you've accomplished. That goes so far for our hearts, right? For our souls. Right now, currently, my wife runs this business, and that's one of the things that her employees say to her is they just really appreciate all of her encouragement. And it has some manual labor elements to it, where they have to do some hard work, and so they just come back and grab some more tools, supplies, whatnot, and they just say, I love working for you, because I really feel supported and encouraged. I really feel celebrated in what I'm doing. And so it really can almost be anything. It doesn't have to be some high affluent, high level, high paying, you know, career job that those are the people that we're encouraging and supporting, which, you know, we can do that too for those people. But it can be everybody. We can learn to celebrate what successes we've accomplished up until this point. And even for ourselves, and especially for ourselves, I had mentioned this in the last podcast, is learning to encourage and celebrate ourselves, right? Learning to look back at this list that I'm talking about and saying, hey, maybe I got one or two of the 10 things done. Way to go. Way to go, Mark. You did a good job today. I'm proud of you. And sometimes maybe we even need to say these things out loud. You know, I know that with my wife, that it's something that we try to do for each other, saying, hey, I'm going to say a couple of these things out loud, and you're welcome to say them with me. You know, like, good job, Mark. And when she repeats it, good job, Mark. And she may not even, I may not even tell her specifically what it is, but it just feels really good for our, you know, again, for our hearts, that we're able to accomplish and celebrate the things that we have accomplished. So there we go. Today's talk was on Philippians 4:6 of being careful for nothing, one of my favorite passages, and what the opposite of that is in celebrating. So I say to you, peace and prosperity, and we will talk to you next time.